Good morning, everybody. I'd like to say a big thank you to the organizers of the session, as well as the various sections that are responsible for organizing the session. I think it's an important issue, and I'm grateful for having been invited to present some of our experiences in Southern Africa. To start off with, there are no... So, I have no conflicts of interest. For those of us that have worked or are working in the informal sector, some of the biggest challenges relate to trying to actually define what the informal sector is all about. And this varies both from country to country and largely from types of different economies. For example, within the developed economies as compared to the developing economies. But a good starting point is to use the International Labour Organization definition, which just simply describes it as small-scale units working from a range of different activities, from production right through to distribution, involving few workers, involving a low level of ownership of the entity. The types of activities that we see, particularly in the developing countries, range from raw materials and mining processing, through to actual production activities, construction, as well as ultimately products that find its way through to distribution on the street sides. The informal sector internationally is certainly a phenomenon that has emerged over the last 20 to 30 years, largely driven by globalization, which has resulted in increased competition at an international level, putting extreme pressures, particularly in developing economies. For example, within South Africa, the textile sector, which employed several hundred thousands of workers, has now been completely destroyed because of the ability to bring in cheaper imports. This has resulted in both industrial downsizing and increased mechanization, both of which are aimed at decreasing profit margin. It has also resulted in outsourcing of work activities that are considered to be non-core to the primary source of business. All of these activities has resulted in increasing employment, stimulating the growth of the informal sector. But the informal sector is certainly not homogenous, certainly not throughout the world. In the developed economies, the emergence of the informal sector has been through a well-established formal sector, a sector which had fairly stable infrastructure and support structures in terms of, well, from health and safety to financial support. This has not been the same for the emerging informal sector in the developing economies, where there's been, even within the formal sector, nothing focusing on occupational health and safety. So, in the developing economies, the informal sector is characterized by a large lack of resources, lack of infrastructure, very poor levels of unionization, lack of legislation relating to support as well as protection of the workers. It exists within the context of high unemployment and is characterized by large numbers of women and children in the informal work. It's also characterized by the high prevalence rates of communicable diseases, particularly TB and HIV. Within Southern Africa, the informal sector varies across the region, but certainly growing very rapidly in all countries. There's varying reports, but up to 60% of the Southern African economy consists of the informal sector. And in a country like South Africa, which has a well-established formal economy, up to 50% of the economy consists of the informal sector. In Botswana, it's as low as 20%, and Tanzania, where this case study that I'm going to report on, is up to 80%. So basically, I'm going to share some of my experiences that have taken place within Southern Africa, and specifically within the 14-member geopolitical entity, the Southern African Development Community. Our study, the largest study that we did involved three countries, South Africa, Mozambique, and Tanzania, but I'm going to basically present our experiences from Tanzania. This is a country on the east coast of Africa with a population of 34 million. The study was conducted in Dar es Salaam, which is a political and economic center of Tanzania with a population of 3.6 million. The informal sector in Dar es Salaam is substantial, with up to 80% of the work being in this sector. In 2005, this sector consisted of about 1.7 million people. About a third of the gross domestic product of Tanzania is from this sector. So the project that I'm going to speak about essentially aimed at trying to create a model which could be adopted in the other SADC states, looking at how to protect the health of workers in the informal economy. It was part of a larger regional project that was funded by the Swedish International Development Agency. But basically, I'm going to focus on the activities of the informal stone crushers as opposed to some of the other work that we've done. And essentially, the project here involved the conduct of risk assessments, health evaluations, health and safety training, as well as interventions that were focused on the hazards that workers faced. So the stone crushers are part of a fairly large informal construction sector in Tanzania. 6,500 workers in the stone crushing industry itself, and stone crushing is extremely hazardous, with work activities ranging from rock blasting through to excavation, crushing, etc. The work is conducted in open sandstone quarries. Levels of dust are extremely high, up to 10.3 milligrams per cubic meter. Workers face constantly ergonomic hazards, risk of falling rock, and working in extreme temperatures. Our health evaluation identified workers with fairly high prevalences of adverse respiratory outcomes, with prevalences ranging of chronic symptoms ranging from between 10 to 20%. We had both men and women presenting with substantial loss of lung function. Interestingly, though, the number of doctor-diagnosed conditions were very low. Additional work health outcomes were extremely high for musculoskeletal disorders, hand injuries, as well as noise-induced hearing loss. So looking at some of the social indicators that were important for us. As I indicated, we had a high prevalence of chronic symptoms reported to us, up to 20%, but yet we had very low levels of doctor-diagnosed diseases. This suggested to us that there was fairly limited healthcare access. And based on the information that we had from these participating workers, only half of them sought healthcare in the past year. The up to 15% of those who presented with at least one chronic symptom did not bother to seek medical attention in the past year. Based on a series of questions that we asked them, we estimated the possible prevalence of HIV to be at about 27%. Given this high prevalence of HIV, we were pretty surprised to see that there was an extremely low prevalence of doctor-diagnosed TB. And this relates once again to the question of healthcare access. Other indicators of note, 26% had no formal education. None of the workers that we worked with completed high school. Up to 90% of women had at least one pregnancy, but a very high stillbirth rate. Up to 16% of women experienced some form of stillbirth. 37% of women experienced at least one failed pregnancy. So clearly, the impacts of informal work have social consequences. Workers have limited resources to protect themselves against hazards, and this includes things like providing themselves with dust masks. Essentially, every cent they make goes into their pockets, and the amount of cents that they make on any particular day can be fairly low. We even had considerable challenges getting them to participate in our health surveillance because they couldn't leave the work site. So unless we paid them for the day to go out onto the health facility to get an X-ray or lung function done, they weren't going to participate. So you have a community which is exposed to possibly high levels of silica dust, a community which is with high prevalence of HIV, therefore at much increased risk of developing TB. Because of the low profit margins, entire families are forced to work on these work sites. So you don't only have the mothers and fathers, but you also have children doing work on these work sites. And this then leads on to the limited social infrastructure, particularly for pregnant women and for children. This picture that I show you here of children working on, being present on the site is not atypical. So clearly, if we want to address the issues of occupational health in this, amongst these informal workers, you cannot divorce it from their entire lives itself. So while the informal sector remains on the social periphery, we've got to start paying attention of how we address the social impacts on their lives. I argue that this informal sector has become a clear economic initiative by governments in developing countries. And the reasons why governments do that, I mean, probably many more reasons than I've outlined here, and they probably wouldn't argue that these are the reasons, but clearly, government has an inability to create formal sector jobs. Government has been unable to challenge big business and the formal sector to change business as usual. So rather than addressing policies of job creation, it's easier to argue that people should go out into what our president called the third economy. So clearly, if this is government's intention, if it's government's intention to promote the informal sector, then it has to be government that develops strategies to ensure that workers in the sector work in healthy and safe environments. But at the same time, if we want workers to work in the sector, it's not a question just of protecting their health from workplace hazards. We've got to address the processes which we've got to create processes which address their poverty and create opportunities for them to ensure their livelihoods of both themselves and their families. We've got to ensure that the existing informal sector frameworks that have been developed must include health and safety infrastructure. The state needs to recognize that the sector does not have the resources to protect the workers' health, and therefore state resources must be made available. We need to ensure that policy frameworks are aimed at increasing awareness and providing training. We need to ensure that there's technical expertise for hazard identification and hazard control. Resources are made available for the control of these hazards, and we need to make sure that we provide medical expertise for medical surveillance and management. So in conclusion, the informal sector is clearly a work of, an emergence of government policy and responses to globalization. In most developing countries, it is the most hazardous form of work, and it places not only the workers, but also their families at great risk. If we're going to address the challenges of informal work, not only do we need to focus on the workplace hazards, but we've also got to focus on the social needs and social infrastructure for families working in the sector. And as I say, it has to be a state responsibility. Finally, I'd just like to acknowledge the workers from these quarries, our colleagues working in the Tanzanian Occupational Health Service, and the people involved in the Work and Health in Southern Africa program, which was funded by the Swedish agency. Thank you very much.